y'all will turn to the book of Judges. Book of Judges. Judges 16. So I like that song, He Leadeth Me. You know, the Scripture says that if we'll acknowledge Him, He'll direct our paths. Just seems we have trouble acknowledging Him in everything that we do. He said in all things, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct our paths, didn't He? Yep. Okay, is everybody in Judges? Judges 16. Okay. So, hey, I was thinking about folks that are strong. Who comes to mind when you think of strength? Samson, right? Because we're in that scripture. Who's somebody else that's strong? I was thinking of David. You remember when David was picked and anointed to be king? He was pulled in from the field and he was described as a little ruddy lad. But a few pages after that, he's found taking on a courage that even an army wouldn't take on to face Goliath. So there was a strength that he was able to muster up based on something. Faith. Thank you, Brother Lee. This is Wednesday night, and this is not preaching, this is teaching. So we can participate. It's just fine. Okay? We can participate in the preaching too, as long as we stay seated, right? Don't get up here. I don't know what the rules are, but I know getting up here is probably one of them. Yeah. So David took on Goliath with his faith in the Lord. And you think of what kind of strength that must have taken to stand. And he had time to think about it. I'm not as impressed. Well, okay. A lot of heroes, I'm not going to say I'm not impressed because a lot of people make some tough decisions in the moment. But a lot of heroes are made in a flash. It's over before they knew it started. They made a decision between fight and flight, and they jump into a situation. We had a gentleman that I worked with that went into a burning car and cut a girl out of her seatbelt and saved her from smoke and flames, and all he could see was, you know, basically nothing. And he said, I really didn't think about it. He said, if I had thought about it, I might not have done it. But David, he got in this situation where he even tried on Saul's armor, and he said, hey, this is not proven. I'll go with God, basically is what he said, and I'll go in there and fight this thing just with what God gives me. So he had time to think about it. So to me, that illustrates a lot of strength. Samson, we know Samson's story. He had a lot of physical strength. Samson, if you'll go into chapter 16 there, verse 1, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went unto her. And it was told the Gazite, saying, Samson is come hither, and they compassed him and laid wait for him all night at the gate of the city, and were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. You know, he was in an area he shouldn't have been in. He didn't have any business hanging out with these folks and doing what he was doing. But he also let himself get into the enemy territory. And sometimes I feel like, you know, enemy territory is pretty close to us. Sometimes I feel like there are people kind of waiting. Do you guys think everybody wants to see you succeed? No, not everybody. So, you know, there are folks that are watching, maybe thinking they'd like to see you trip up a little bit. Some folks might even slip a banana peel out there in your path every now and then just see if it'll work. So Samson was in a situation where they were wanting to destroy him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight, and he took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill that was before Hebron. So I've got a study Bible here that says he carried the doorpost 38 miles, mostly uphill. Is that strength? That's not just strength. That's endurance. That shows someone that had the power of God on them, and he was able to endure a great thing there with his strength. Do you guys have anybody that you know, when you look at their life, you say, no, that's a person of strength. I don't know how they do it, but they don't ever do anything wrong. They always have their tongue under control. They don't gossip about people. If I say something about somebody, they don't participate. I know they don't drink or smoke. And I've never caught them in a lie. You guys got anybody in mind that kind of stands? Is that you? Is that you? Am I talking about you right now? Nobody's going to play on this one. I'm setting you up, aren't I? Don't set me up. So you may have somebody in mind that's very strong in some areas, that has basically conquered a certain area. And I don't want to claim to have conquered any area, but I've been pretty successful since 20 plus years, almost probably 25 years now. I haven't tasted a drink of alcohol. Period. None. Nothing. And I had a friend that told me back years ago, probably 30 years ago, that, you know, Randy, you're as good as gold. You'll do anything for anybody. And I think you'll always be a good person. But you're always going to drink. That's who you are. Because, quite frankly, my dad was an alcoholic on his side, my grandfather, all of my uncles, and as far back as the generations that I know, on my mom's side, my grandmother, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, and it's a genetic thing. It is. It runs in the bloodline. And I was on that path. I mean, I was. So what is it that would allow somebody that has a genetic predisposition to be able to not do that for a few decades? And I intend to do it forever. I'm not claiming victory or anything, but I'm just saying, how can you do that? So I'm thinking about, and I'm not putting myself up as a picture of strength because there's a punchline coming. I've been studying lately some things about how people stay away from certain things. And willpower and how humans work. And I was thinking about how that connected, and there's some science around that, and I was thinking about how that connected with some of these Bible stories. And it's okay, I hope it's okay with you guys, that science and Scripture match. Because you can study the human experience and human behavior, and you can take hundreds or even thousands of humans and see how they act in certain situations and gather data around it and say, that's kind of the way human beings are in certain situations. So you can collect data around that. And then it's amazing, you can go into Scripture and you can say, wow, those people were human too, and some of that stuff matches. So let's look a little bit more at Samson and I could probably give you all my thought in 5 minutes, but I want to build a path to it. So in verse 5, I'm going to skip down to verse 5, the lords of the Philistines came to Delilah. We know that he's gotten connected with Delilah. And they're asking Delilah to figure out where Samson's strength lies. So she obviously... let's just read it. Delilah said to Samson down in verse 6, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said, and I don't know why he was playing games, but he was playing not only in the wrong ball field, he was playing the wrong game here. He said, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth. And Samson said down in verse 7, if they bind me with 7 green whisks that were never dried, then shall I be weak as another man. And then the lords of the Philistines brought her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding in the chamber, and she said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken, which is tough as fire. So his strength was not known. So here's Samson. He's toying with these folks. He's like, okay, try this and see if you can defeat me. So he's tempting this situation. Delilah said, "Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said to her, "If you bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak as another man." Okay, so here's Samson. He's already seen that she's on the other side. And yet he stays and he plays this game. Delilah took therefore new ropes and bound him and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said again, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If thou weavest 7 locks of my head in the web." And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awake out of sleep, and he went away with the pin and the beam and with the web. So everything that she's tried so far has not worked. And in verse 15, "And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me 3 times, and hast not told me wherewith thy great strength lieth." And here's where it gets serious. In verse 16 it says, "And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death." He got himself exposed to a situation where he let Delilah get her hooks in him. And she started working on him. Now, this goes back to some of the studies that I've been looking at. Human beings only have so much energy. Human beings only have so much mental energy. So do you guys ever, like right now, it's the middle of the week. This is actually one of my worst times during the week, because I get extremely tired, I start getting fatigued, and I start losing my ability to focus. So all day long, you're making decisions, you got people pulling on you, and then you get home or you interface with your spouse, and it seems like all those pleasantries that you've done with everyone you work with during that day, and all the diplomacy that you've been able to carry yourself with, when it's time to talk to your family, you don't give them the same diplomacy or the same courtesy. Right. So sometimes that's because we're comfortable with our family and we know they're there. You know, there's some dynamic around that. But another part of it is the fatigue factor. The fatigue factor of, I'm emotionally drained and I no longer have willpower to act like I got sense. And sometimes it costs us more than we meant. But there's a dynamic there. And it goes like this. If there was a study done where a group of people were put in a room, and half of the people were told, you can have all the cookies you want. The other half was told, you can have all the radishes you want. Okay, so the people eating the cookies didn't have to deal with a whole lot of issues right there. I mean, cookies are pretty, most of us like cookies. It's a pretty pleasant experience. And they were in there all day, so the people that were assigned the radishes, they would take a bite of radish, and, you know, the jury's out. Radish by itself is no deal. But they had access to the cookies. And some of them would go over and touch a cookie. Maybe it would fall on the floor and they'd have to pick it up and put it back, you know, just in case, You know, there's some cookiness that needed to be absorbed through the skin. But all day they had to resist these cookies, and if they were hungry, they had to eat the radishes. So they put those same people in a room after those hours of that situation and gave them a puzzle to solve, an unsolvable puzzle, actually, to see how much energy they had to stick with that puzzle. Who gave up on the puzzle first? The radish eaters. And they should have had more strength because radishes are healthier. But the study showed that the willpower that they used to fight not getting in on the cookies had diminished them from their ability to do that complex task at the end of the day. So remember that experiment, because there's another one coming. But this whole fatigue factor, Samson was exposed to this fatigue factor with Delilah. She wore on him, and she picked at him, and she worked on him, and she vexed him so that his soul was vexed unto death. In verse 17, he told her all his heart. That's the I give up factor right there. Okay, whatever. That's the I'm on a diet and a cookie fell in my mouth. So since I've already blown today, I may as well just go ahead and have a bowl of ice cream too. Because I've already kind of stepped over the line, so let's just go in, let's just do this. And you just say, well, okay, I'm done, blow it. So he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up to this at once. He has showed me all his heart. And the lords of the Philistines came unto her and brought money in her hand. And she made him to sleep on her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off his 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. So he had given up the strength that he had possessed because he got in the situation to start with, and he allowed her to wear him down. We've got to guard ourselves against letting our defenses get worn down. We've got to put ourselves in situations where those people who are inputting into our lives are adding energy and not taking away energy. It's a unique situation when you can be in an environment day in and day out where you feel like you've got folks surrounding you that want to build you up as opposed to get a little bit of what's yours. But if you can get in that situation, you're better off for it, right? So Samson had gotten himself in a mess. So let's go back to our science experiments. there was another study done. Same group of same book actually. They put some subjects in a room and told them they were part of an observation on. I think they made them watch a movie and they were looking at their facial expressions, how they responded to the movie. And some of them were asked to not show their expressions. Some were asked to over the show their expressions. But it was all just a ruse to get to. The real experiment. The real experiment was for some groups, they would leave them in there doing that experiment with a bowl of M&Ms right there in their reach. So these were, they had picked a group of dieters and they put those bowl of M&Ms right in their reach. And the dieters would resist the M&Ms and some wouldn't resist it so much. And at the end of the experiment, they did the same unsolvable puzzle to see what kind of energy they had to solve the puzzle. With another group, they put a bowl of M&Ms in the room, but out of reach. So you'd have to make an effort to get up and go take part in the M&Ms. Okay, so this is where the Lord has shown me something, okay? The people who had the M&Ms closest to them were the ones that ate most of the M&Ms. The people who had the M&Ms furthest away, most of them could resist it. And when they had to solve the puzzle at the end of the day, who had the most energy? It was the ones that didn't have the M&Ms in reach, because they weren't using their willpower all day to fight that temptation. The ones who had it close, even though they had partaken in more of that, they had used up their mental energy fighting it while they were doing it. Okay. Let that sit in for just a minute. I was speaking with a gentleman the other day, and he's one of my peers, and he said, I finally got my son through his drug problem. We decided not to go get him a few years ago when he was in prison, and that scared him straight, and that worked. And I'm not sure how we got on that conversation. I said, wow, that's interesting. I've heard of that happening. I didn't get too deep into it with him. And then he turns to me and says something that shocked me. He said, I've been sober and clean for 25 years. I said, really? Well, that's impressive. He said, I used to be hooked on crack and coke. And I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks for opening up. Didn't really know we were that good of friends. But, wow, that's neat. And then it hit me. I got to ask this question. None of my business, but I got to ask this question. I said, okay, so you don't do drugs. You don't drink. He said, no, I don't drink. I said, so you don't social drink? Because most of the people I know social drink outside of you guys. And so I wonder about some of you. But most of the people I interact with do social drink. I said, you mean you don't even social drink? He said, nope, nothing. I said, really? He said, because I never wanted crack or coke unless I was drinking. So I got to thinking about this experiment. And I got to thinking about my own experience. And I got to thinking, and if you look back here at Judges 16:1, it says, then Samson went to Gaza. He got close to trouble. He saw an harlot, and he went unto her. If he'd have stayed away from the trouble, he wouldn't have had to resist the trouble. If you keep the M&Ms away from you, you don't have to be as strong to resist the temptation. So if we're going to go hang out in those situations because we can handle it, that's probably not the best decision. Because if you're inclined in that direction, especially if it's the group of friends you came out of, it might look appealing to you. So we wonder year after year why some of us can't quite get over certain things. Because we're not creating enough distance between us and those things. The more distance you create between you and those things, the more likelihood you're going to be successful. It doesn't guarantee. It doesn't make you not human. It doesn't mean you don't have flesh. But it increases the likelihood. And you don't have to use all that energy. So, are y'all hearing me?
Yes, ma'am.
Is it making sense? So, I was thinking about David again. You know, he showed some great strength when he defeated Goliath. And he showed some great strength as a king and as a leader. And then he was on the rooftop one day, Brother Lee, and he looked. And then he started hatching a plan. And he hatched a plan that included murder. And his plan included partaking in something he shouldn't have partaken in. And then destruction came upon his house. So it wasn't necessarily his strength or his faith in God that was going to keep him out of those things. The thing that was going to keep, that could have kept David safe was to not have looked. This thing has to be nipped before it gets started. It has to be cut before it sprouts. It has to be gone before it exists. Because that's really the point when we have the most ability to overcome. Once we get to messing with it, once we get to flirting with it or entertaining it, if we're watching things on TV we shouldn't watch, why are we on those channels? Most TVs have technology to block channels nowadays. If you have a problem on your computer, then get a filter that blocks access. Only be on the computer when somebody's in the house. Whatever your issue is, you better put a big wall between you and that issue, because you probably can't resist if you get near or around it. So, just a little thought from me on some of the studies that I've had and some of the scripture. And you know, Brother Ken talks about these things all the time. Stay away. Get out of that crowd. Don't entertain it. Don't get into it. Don't touch it. When in doubt, don't. We don't have to expose ourselves to that kind of risk. Nothing good comes out of it. Now, I'm not standing here saying that there's not room for people to fall after 25 years or 20 years or whatever of being on the right path. There's a way off of that path, but I guarantee you there's a more likelihood of success if you don't look over into that area where you don't belong. If you don't show up, people know, you know, we have going away parties, people quit, people retire, people move on, people get promoted, and people come to me now after many years and say, I know you're not going to come to the bar where we're saying goodbye, so I wanted to say goodbye to you now. That's happened a dozen times, and I say, look, it's not that I don't care for you and I don't value you, I just don't go there. So, Let's shake hands right now, and we'll move on. It's you know, people learn that that's you, and we're taught in society nowadays to be tolerant of people. We're taught to be tolerant of the way people think, dress, act, some of their belief systems, and I believe that we should have a certain amount of tolerance, because people are to be loved and people are to be respected. I'm asking for the same thing for my weirdness. If I don't want to go to a bar, I shouldn't be judged for that. And I should be able to stand strong and say, no, that doesn't align with what I want to do. If you really need me in the situation, then we need a different location. Or phone me, I don't know, but I don't need to be there. So, it's okay to set those boundaries around your situation, especially if you have a potential weakness, especially if you have something that would, a taste of something that would draw you into destruction. You don't need to flirt with that. You don't need to get in that situation. And I think people would respect that of you. That shows a certain amount of character and fortitude. So I hope this is giving you something to think about. And that's really all I'm going for. Something to think about. So thank you guys for your attention.